You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
If all of our extended musical interludes are in the style of Doris Day, I mean, can we go wrong? Is that the bad thing? So just to conclude, and then we'll move on. Jefferson, his political writings. I know this is sort of a left turn, but not really. I mean, because after all, this broadcast was founded in that spirit. I mean, from the beginning, it was the Jeffersonian idea of informing their discretion through education. That's the true corrective of constitutional abuses. And like Jefferson said, you know, when you do that, evil spirits will vanish like at the dawn of day? I forget. Anyway. So that's always been the foundational sort of edict. So from the introduction, Jefferson's political writings, representative selections, the end of the introduction, the essential spirit of Jeffersonian political theory was faith in the people. Quote, I have so much confidence in the good sense of man and his qualification for self-government that I am never afraid of the issue where reason is left free to exert her force, not in Bernaysian propaganda, not in the engineering of consent, not in any of that kind of nonsense, not in the Skinner box, none of that stuff, you know, not in operant conditioning, none of those things. I have so much confidence in the good sense of man and his qualification for self-government that I am never afraid of the issue where reason is left free to exert her force. And, you know, freedom predicated on concepts like freedom of religion. Again, you know, read what Jefferson wrote about that. It's eye-opening, I think, for most people. A new civilization based on cherishment of the people, quote-unquote, Jefferson believed was destined to arise in America. What a concept. The doctrine of Europe and of statesmen such as Alexander Hamilton, statesman indeed, you know, when I think of Hamilton, I think of a wannabe. You know, the bastard who always aspired to be an aristocrat. Then you have folks like Jefferson, born an aristocrat, essentially, you know, American royalty, who was the constant and consummate champion and crusader of the American everyman, in my humble estimation. The doctrine of Europe and of statesmen such as Alexander Hamilton was that the people was a great beast and must be restrained by brute force. The Jeffersonian doctrine was that man was a rational animal endowed by nature with rights and could be trusted to maintain law and order by means of a government of limited powers, responsible to the people and permitting citizens to think for themselves and to follow reason as their guide. Anyway. One last thing before we move on. This is what I was getting to. Actually, you know, I probably should save this because this gets back to other things I wanted to share. Actually, two quick things. So along these lines, Jefferson wrote to James Madison from Paris in 1787. I've talked about this before. You know, in the concept the earth belongs in usufruct to the living, that's something that everyone should get acquainted with. That is a word, I think, that shouldn't leave the American lexicon, if you will. educate and inform the whole mass of the people, enable them to see that it is their interest to preserve peace and order, and they will preserve them. That was to James Madison, December 20, 1787. To Ezra Stiles from Paris, December 1786, he wrote, "The commotions that have taken place in America, as far as they are yet known to me, offer nothing threatening. They are a proof that the people have liberty enough, and I could not wish them less than they have, unlike Bill Clinton." When was that, 1993? Sometimes you have too much freedom, you know, you got to limit that freedom. "If the happiness of the mass of the people can be secured at the expense of a little tempest now and then, and even of a little blood, it will be a precious purchase." Can you imagine? Look what's happening in Colorado, for example, recently. All the strategy of tension stuff. You know, the timing of things, officer gets shot, strategy of tension, you know, school stuff. Oh my goodness, government, save us. Jefferson wouldn't have it. "If the happiness of the mass of the people can be secured at the expense of a little tempest now and then," you know, I have a solution to, you know, you have these families, mothers of, you know, Sandy Hook. I know how to end gun violence. So do I. Get rid of the FBI and the CIA and the BATF and the DEA, you know. And strategy of tension events will vanish like evil spirits of the dawn of day. That's what it was, to borrow from Jefferson. So he also wrote to William Smith from Paris, 1787, "The remedy is to set them right as to facts, pardon and pacify them." You know, when you start talking about what's going on in these shakeups and things, it's interesting. Okay, so the last thing before we move on from this briefly, the care that is taken sometimes. You know, we're so casual and cavalier. It's just interesting. You know, you look at things like this. And note on the text. I'm going to read this briefly, just so that we kind of get an idea. You know, this reminds me again of that Thoughty 2 video on YouTube. When was the last time you wrote? And what it used to mean. It wasn't the, you know, these things that, I mean, when they build a museum for you, that means you're, you know, you're going away. So, you know. Talking about the International Association of Master Penmen and Engrossers and Teachers of Handwriting. They used to just call it handwriting. It was just writing. It was just writing. Now, you know, only 12 people in the world are master penmen. Note on the text, "The faithful presentation of Jefferson's political thought being the chief criterion of selection, the material included in this volume has been gathered from several sources. Some items were transcribed directly from hitherto unpublished manuscripts in the Library of Congress." Google's on that, though, right? Google's going to make sure that all of that good material gets... Oh, no, they're not doing... They're not... It's not a Google project. That's interesting. "Some items were transcribed directly from hitherto unpublished manuscripts in the Library of Congress. In general, the text follows the published versions as found..." Okay, so this is kind of what I'm talking about. This is where it gets important. "In general, the text follows the published versions as found in the editions of Ford, Washington, Lipscomb, and Berg. Where the text on its face appeared questionable..." What are they talking about? The issue of handwriting and how it, you know, you'll see. I'll just keep reading. "Where the text on its face appeared questionable, the passage in the source being used was compared, when possible, with other editions named or preferably with Boyd's edition now in progress at Princeton. and in some instances with the Stockdale edition of Jefferson's Notes on Virginia. What's with all the fuss? Well, listen. To have verified throughout this book the accuracy of the published versions used as sources would have been an unwarranted effort, duplicating the magnificent editorial task being performed by Boyd and his staff in the definitive edition of Jefferson's papers. The text here, printed, is believed to be an accurate version of what Jefferson wrote, although no attempt has been made to reproduce his peculiarities of style. He seldom began a sentence with a capital letter, but would capitalize an important word in the middle of a sentence. I mean, how do you do that? These days, it's kind of like carrying your papers around. You have to capitalize the first word of every sentence, right? He seldom began a sentence with a capital letter, but would capitalize an important word in the middle of a sentence. He usually wrote receive, R-E-C-I-E-V-E, knowledge, K-N-O-L-E-G-E, and employed contractions such as A-G-S-T for against and the like. For the convenience of the reader, the editor has provided a set of notes divided into headnotes, footnotes, appendix notes, and biographical index. The appendix notes are marked by a superior figure in the text. The biographical index is organized in alphabetical order. With the exception of the Declaration of Independence, punctuation, capitalization, and spelling of the text have been modified to conform to modern American usage. Again, that's for the convenience of the reader, which I think kind of makes sense. And the fact that they're telling you that, I mean, hopefully we all sort of appreciate the fact that it's not being done in, I would say, a sort of nefarious or underhanded sort of way. For the convenience of the reader, this is what's going on. In the case of the Declaration of Independence, on account of the importance of the document, the exact text, as engrossed, what? Engrossed? On parchment has been reproduced as faithfully as the limitations of print and the fallibility of human eyesight and judgment permit. I mean, listen to the care that is taken. Through the courtesy of the Library of Congress, the editor established the present text by careful collation of the following standards. The glass negative taken by Levin C. Handy, April 23, 1903, 52 years earlier. And a screened print derived therefrom. Number two, a photograph by Truman Stone taken May 16, 1942. 21 and three quarter by 18 and a half inches. And three, the screened photograph appearing as an illustration of, in John H. Hazelton's The Declaration of Independence, Its History. That's 1906. And four, over half a dozen other photographs examined to verify particular readings. I mean, just listen to the care that's taken. And so I'll skip ahead. I mean, there's a little bit more, but not much. The last paragraph. The varied size and shape of the engrosser's ornate lettering can convey shades of emphasis not indicated by ordinary printing. Thus, the enlarged lowercase p and d sometimes employed might reasonably be read as capital letters, e.g., in depository of their public records with a capital R, or do publish and declare. One would also be justified on the basis of the ocular evidence in placing a colon after frontiers and a period after humble terms. But the initial letter in lives of our people lacks the curve and loop characteristic of the capital L elsewhere. And there is no doubt that United States of America, though in emphatic and distinctive script, does not begin with a capital U. What could that possibly mean? It's not the United States, it's these United States. In matters of typographical style, the engrossed declaration differs from the other two official texts. The broadside printed at Philadelphia on the night of July 4, 1776 by John Dunlap and the version contained in the corrected Journal of Congress. So the point is the care and thought that was taken that went into this work to try to do something that, shockingly enough, apparently there was no such concise and comprehensive work to that point, at least not according to the folks who assembled this work for the American Heritage Series back in 1955. And that's just astonishing, because this really is, you know, as was noted by certain folks, this was considered the second American Revolution by some, you know, the coup of Jeffersonian politics and his election as president was a new, that this is all a sort of new concept, you know, and Reagan articulated that back in 1964 on the Goldwater campaign trail in his Time for Choosing speech. That whole concept that, you know, this idea that government is beholden to the people, there is no other source of power except to sovereign people, is still the newest and most unique idea in all the long history of man's relation to man, as Reagan put it. And he said, this is the issue of the election, you know, of this election. But, you know, this is, it's still the issue to me. It's comes down to whether we believe in our capacity for self-government or whether we abandon the American Revolution and confess that a little intellectual elite in a far distant capital can plan our lives for us better than we can plan them ourselves. And this detachment syndrome that Americans have been coerced and beguiled and manipulated into, where somehow people think that someone they've never met, who is beholden to special interests undoubtedly through whatever pressure mechanism of the day, whether it's, you know, debt retirement parties or graft and greed and corruption or political pressure or blackmail or whatever. The idea that somebody that we don't know, we've never met us, somehow could represent your interests, my interests, better than we can ourselves. Who would do that? Who would? And yet, you know, I mean, we're just convinced in area after area of our lives. 60 Minutes just did a piece. We'll get back to this. We won't do this right now, but, you know, they just did their latest piece, and you have Connecticut Attorney General William Tong saying it's an industry-wide epidemic, this corruption of price fixing. It's an industry-wide scandal. Oh, but not with vaccines. Not with, the scientists said we can't talk about that. So an industry that just time and time again proves itself fraught with corruption, obscene profit making at any expense, including criminal activity. We're not supposed to question this one thing. This one sacred cow is sacred. We can't tip this one. It's ludicrous. You're just supposed to trust. You know what? There is a package insert, but since you need an electron microscope to read the package insert, nah, why bother? Double-blind, placebo-controlled, what? Nah, we don't need anything. Just, it's okay, it's safe. Don't worry about it. You know, your healthcare professional at Walmart or Shopko or, you know, Fred Meyer or wherever will take good care of you. It's ludicrous. Go talk to a stranger and tell them all your deepest, darkest secrets because, you know, they have a piece of paper on the wall. It's ludicrous. It's all ludicrous. What is happening, what we're being convinced to believe. And there was a time in this society, in Jeffersonian fashion, I dare say, people would say, enough is enough. That was, you know, according to Jefferson, that was a good idea about every generation or so, about every 20 years or so. That used to be a thing in the American, you know, whatever. whatever you want to call it. So, I don't know if that's still something that people talk about somewhere, but it used to be. We'll go to the phones when we come back. Stick around.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
The falling leaves drift by my window. The autumn leaves of red and gold. I see your lips, the summer kisses, the sunburned hands I used to hold. Since you went away, the days grow long, and soon I'll hear old winter song.
Welcome back.
But I miss you.
Beautiful stuff. Every American should be a master penman to some degree. One quick thing. We'll come back to this later, but to Thomas Jefferson, you know, I mentioned the religious freedom, his bill for establishing religious freedom back in 1779, he regarded, to him, that bill ranked with the Declaration of Independence as his greatest achievement. And prior to his death, he asked that it be noted on his tombstone that he was its author. And to read it, I think, is astonishing to most people. You know, bill for establishing religious freedom. Yeah, we should be able to, okay, well, like I've said before, read it. Well aware that the opinions and belief of men depend on their own will, but follow involuntarily the evidence proposed to their minds, not the propaganda, Edward Bernays, but the evidence. And so, you know, people say, yeah. That Almighty God hath created the mind free, okay, and manifested his supreme will, that free it shall remain by making it altogether insusceptible of restraint, that all attempts to influence it by temporal punishments or burdens or by civil incapacitations, you know what Bertrand Russell called diet injections and injunctions, that kind of stuff, tend only to beget habits of hypocrisy and meanness, and are a departure from the plan of the holy author of our religion. Well, that's interesting, from the guy authoring the bill to establish religious freedom, isn't it? Or a departure from the plan of the holy author of our religion, who, being Lord both of body and mind, yet chose not to propagate it by coercion on either, as was in his almighty power to do, but to exalt it by its influence on reason alone, that the impious presumption of legislature and ruler, civil as well as ecclesiastical, this is where the concept comes in, who being themselves but fallible and uninspired men, have assumed dominion over the faith of others, setting up their own opinions and modes of thinking. That's what, not what Jesus called doctrines of, commandments and teachings of men, you know, which is tantamount to doctrines of demons, the uninspired, as Jefferson put it. Setting up their own opinions and modes of thinking as the only true and infallible, and as such endeavoring to impose them on others, hath established and maintained false religions over the greatest part of the world and through all time. There's more, but it's interesting, you know, if you don't read it and you just listen, it's funny. I guess I will say, you know, in the spirit and in the Jeffersonian spirit of the freedom of religion, it's funny how many people, and you go back to the big example in my mind is Exodus chapter 20. Someone, you know, people want someone between them and accountability. Naturally, we all sort of want that, which is exploited from time to time. And that results in tyranny and exploitation and bad things. Jefferson's saying, no, people should be free to be accountable and responsible for themselves and not have some kind of liaison, some kind of interpreter. Yea, hath, you know, God hath said, or, you know, we've queried the data and the science is settled. Any kind of that, you know, any brand of that nonsense usually is has nefarious origins and is for nefarious purposes. So, anyway, I don't want to get too far off track. Do we have time to go to the phones, or do we need to wait? The phones? Fred in Iowa, thanks for calling, Fred.
Good morning, Grumpy.
Good morning, Fred.
We are a two-party dictatorship. Amen. And it's going to get worse. But
seems
if you
that way.
Believe with all your heart that you're on the right side, and we should do our best to get more people on that side. I got a website, Jesse Ventura Talks at Google. It's on YouTube. But if there was on the ballot cards none of the above, and you can mark that, because I don't intend to vote again for President Biden.
Yeah.
Well, hold me over for Well, just a little bit. Anyhow, I'll come back.
Absolutely. Yeah. Sorry. Apologize for my prolixity, as Dave would say. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigRelief migraine formula. MigRelief is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigRelief for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Light the corners of my mind, misty watercolored memories of the way we were. Of the smiles we left behind, smiles we gave to one another for the way we were.
Welcome back. Again, marking the passing of Doris Day, bottom of the second hour. Today's broadcast is Monday, May 13th, 2019. We're on the phones. We have Fred in Iowa on the line. So, yeah, I would say one party, Fred. You know, the business party, essentially. Big business. And business is good, and basically it has co-opted all other parties, primarily those big two. That's just my take. Anyway.
Jesse Ventura talks at Google. That's on YouTube. Jesse Ventura talks at Google. That kind of cheered me up. Now, I'm not an atheist, but I think the Creator has given him enough light that he's a shining person. So he may be an atheist, but it's easy for me to love that man. And that's no big, great thing on my part. But I love you. But your show has cheered me up. Maybe you've been in a grumpy mood. Your whole show is just made me very happy. So I think I've said enough. And have a good day, my friend.
Thank Bye-bye. You. Thank you, Fred. Appreciate it, as always. You know, if that's possible, if it's possible that, I don't know. I mean, maybe it's like me listening to Bill Burr, you know, again, him talking about the 70% tax rate nonsense, you know. There was a time when we could see the fraud of it, you know, on the face of the lies. But, you know, you get a people dumbed down and distracted enough and infotained. And really, there's a sort of laziness involved. Not wanting to actually have to think for ourselves. And again, wanting someone to be, you know, the more you start to go that direction, the more it feeds on itself, like those kinds of addictions. Again, Exodus chapter 20, you know, Moses comes down off the mountain and says, hey, everybody, let's go talk to God. And the response is essentially, what? You talk to us. You know, what are you, crazy? You talk to us, lest we perish. Because they see, you know, basically it amounts to accountability. And they've been down partying and having all kinds of fun. And it's not necessarily good. And so one of the things I was going to say before is, it's interesting, you know, as you look around, there is this effort. What used to be called liberalism, again, is, you know, this sort of Jeffersonian freedom to pursue one's relationship with one's maker freely and without the well, as Hayek put it in The Road to Serfdom, Chapter 2, the coercion or arbitrary influence, you know, to the great apostles of political freedom, the word had meant freedom from coercion, freedom from the arbitrary power of other men, release from the ties which left the individual no choice but obedience to the orders of a superior to whom he was attached. You know, and this, there are so many things that just, you know, it's a directional issue. Again, Hamilton, you know, the Hamiltonians, the public is a beast that must be restrained. Jefferson, you know what? Inform their discretion. So speaking of that, I'm going to go back just a minute to Friday's broadcast and the discussion of 15%, the 15% cap. You know, if you spent time in business, I mentioned the Reagan years, for example. You know, as we look back in history, you can make arguments for certain things, and to be that dogmatic for 320 million people will prove injurious to some. It just will. Why not educate people and help them understand how these things actually work? So, for example, you know, if you say there's a 15% cap on interest, and, you know, again, usury, the biblical concept of usury is interest, any interest. Do not put your money out at interest. That's usurious. And if I'm not mistaken, first it was to one's countrymen. We're not supposed to loan out at interest. That should be enough for Americans. But then it was to anyone. Eventually, that was the admonition, the Old Testament admonition, I believe, if memory serves. Anyway, it's any interest. That's usury. Interest is usury. We're not supposed to do that. In the Bible, don't do that. If we're talking about the Abrahamic religions in Bernie Frank fashion, does Bernie Frank read the Bible? Is he in there on a regular basis? Something tells me, I doubt it. Maybe. But it seems to me a better idea. You know, John Adams said some, he wrote some and said some provocative things, but not as much of a firebrand as Samuel Adams or, you know, maybe John Quincy or some others. But one of the things that has always stuck with me is when he wrote to Thomas Jefferson, ironically, all the perplexities, confusions, and distresses in America arise not from defects in their constitution or confederation, nor from want of honor or virtue, so much as from downright ignorance of the nature of coin, credit, and circulation. Who could make that distinction today in America? Coin, credit, and circulation. And there is a very important discussion we should be having about the nature of coin, credit, and circulation since, say, 1913, for example. Or 1944. Or 1971, you know, 1933. We should be having important discussions. What is the significance here? That should be paramount, but that's not taught unless you go to, you know, unless you're an economist. Well, we don't need to know those things. Yeah, actually we do. And so the simple point here, getting back to the 15%, is, you know, if two people agree that something is, I mean, imagine two people start a business or are starting a business. One person has an idea, another person has capital, so to speak, to invest. You know, two people get together. A person says, I have an idea. The person with the money says, that sounds like a great idea. Maybe the person only needs a $20,000 or $25,000 investment. Say 20. But the person says, you know what, or let's call it 25. The person says, you know what, it's so worth it to me. We both agree this is probably going to work out. And I'm willing to, you know, pay you back with interest, so to speak. And, you know, it's going to go well. I'm betting it's going to go well. And, you know, I'm willing to kick you back $5,000 just because I appreciate your you know, I couldn't have done it without you, obviously. And that's more than 15%, obviously. But if they both agree this is something they want to do, and a customer or the customers of whatever, you know, business or whatever product or service are happy with whatever product or service they're getting, who is anyone to say you can't do that? Presuming it's not unethical or immoral, obviously. Why would we want to limit that? Why would we want to limit the ability of people to create jobs and things? and to provide a valuable product or service to the community. Why do that? You know, suddenly something that was a good idea is illegal. No, you can't do that. Even if they both parties agree, hey, you know what? This sounds like a great idea. Why would we do that? And there are moments where that might make sense. Seems better to inform their discretion and teach people, again, you know, how inflation works and what the consequences are. We don't learn about that. And it's a simple discussion. Simple. Inflation is the invisible tax, as historians and economists have all... Who doesn't agree with that? Find an economist, you know, who doesn't agree with that. Inflation is the hidden or invisible tax, and, you know, I'll show you someone who's not an economist. But we don't learn that in school, do we? Why? And again, to me, I mean, I'll just say it one more time. The simple illustration is, in your community, there are services that are provided. We all expect certain, you know, accoutrements, if you will, of living in a municipality or whatever. And that costs money. It costs, you know, it takes money, we'll say. I know it's Federal Reserve units. They're not, it's not money, I know. But, you know, those services need to be paid for, shall we say. And inflation, since our currency is not backed by anything of substance, it is a fractional reserve system, which is an oxymoron. That means that the more units that are introduced into circulation devalue, as more units are introduced, it devalues the existing basis of units. Each unit is devalued by a certain percentage. And at this point, you know, the Federal Reserve allegedly, ostensibly, was created to regulate the value of the dollar and has regulated it down to nearly nothing from, you know, what it was to 98 cents or so on the dollar. And if you have followed the purchasing power of silver, for example, as many folks have noted over the years, you have the same purchasing power. Substance gives you the same purchasing power that it always has and always will, you know, barring intrigue and sophistry. You know, the same silver dollars that you had 100 years ago will buy the same suit and the same this and that. And so those units are required to buy services in a municipality, but the invisible tax of inflation says it's going to require more units next year to buy the same level of service because those units will be worth less. The value will be diminished. Or, excuse me, the purchasing power will be diminished. There's no value because there's no substance. Anyway, inflation also dictates that the wage of the average person not benefiting from a cost of living increase will be diminished. So you have a widening disparity, and what do? People need to be having that conversation. There was in the NBC Nightly News coverage yesterday, they did a segment on cashierless checkout stands, you know, the self-checkout stuff. And, you know, if you're a cashier who's been helping people do that, you've been training your competition. As they noted, 50,000 jobs, I think, have gone away. Many more are set to go away. And, you know, so the segment was titled Convenience at What Cost? Convenience at what cost? Yeah, at what cost? Stores replacing cashiers with machines. Amazon's, you know, leading the way with cashierless, basically employee-less stores. And Amazon says, oh, no, we just repositioned them. Really? To where exactly? Because they just don't seem to be anywhere. Where are these repositioned workers? Where is the repositioned workforce? We repositioned them back into the workforce. Yeah. So anyway, that is a conversation that we need to have, this how inflation works and what are the consequences. That should be the primary conversation in America. And there's another one. You know, do you want to buy a house? Do you want to buy a car or whatever? Do you want the bank to loan you money out? I was thinking about it over the way. I'll say something on that and we'll go back to the phone. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth?
Magic. The stars desert the skies and rush to nestle in your eyes. It's magic without a golden wand or mystic charms. Fantastic things begin when I am in your.
Welcome back.
When we walk hand in hand,
oh, what fun lyrics. You know, it's interesting. Again, just the way times change. The Washington Post eulogizes Doris Day and the Obits today. Doris Day, singer and perpetually chaste movie star. C-H-A-S-T-E. Movie star of the 50s and 60s. Dies at 97. So, you know, again, different era. And so the, you know, back to that point quickly, the idea that liberalism now has been a term that has been subverted and perverted to mean essentially unbounded licentiousness has at least two primary consequences in my mind. First of all, you know, again, previously noted at arguably ad nauseum, as Benjamin Franklin put it, only virtuous people are capable of freedom. As nations become more vicious and corrupt, they have more need of masters. And that's what happens in an environment of unbounded licentiousness. You know what? We don't need that Bible. We don't need any of those things that restrain us, you know, morally and ethically. We don't need any of that. We just need, you know, whatever. We need tolerance and acceptance. Another thing that, another piece, maybe we'll come back to this, in the nightly news last night was the, you know, that ridiculous what do you call it? Story that NBC News ran, that what they called it was Storytime Controversy. Storytime Controversy. You know, Drag Queen Story Hour. Parents, you know, outraged. Forcing these kinds of things on kids. We're forcing things on people that find them objectionable or disagreeable. So that means that I can come to your house or your place of wherever or whatever, and I can force my views on you. That's perfectly fine. Okay, that's fun, right? It's funny how the people that want to do this kind of thing shout at others who have views, hold views that they don't agree with, as intolerant. Funny how that works. But I don't think that there are folks coming to these people's place of work or recreation or whatever and shouting at them about their views. Anyway, I'll finish that thought and the other thought, and we'll go back to the phones when we come back. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction?
A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.